Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Well met, fellow adventurers. After collecting our Christmas gifts, we are now back to adventuring with the Silver Quest. And we've just spent quite a long time showing off the new Spruce Smasher. And we probably wandered around and found some goblins and smashed them. And actually we showed it off, or something like that. I'm sure there'll be something we could show it smashing. But now for something we've been hired to do. Rather, you know, just freelance goblin smashing. Alright, this adventure is called The Stolen Journal. The valuable journal of an illustrious Titian mage has gone missing. No matter, the Silver Quest, no doubt meaning Sir Croakington, is on the job. Start the adventure. Here we go. An encluttered interior of the Wenneve Tavern that has long served as the headquarters of the Silver Quest. You listen with growing indifference as Pritham and Teague, two of your illustrious fellow Quest members, argue ad more naughty about some of the finer and painfully obscure points related to swordsmanship. At last, Pritham holds up his hands and laughs. Despite the seemingly jovial outburst, you sense he has reached the limit of his patience. And so, we will now all bow to the very wisest of swordsmen, who happens to favour the axe. Tink, well done, my friend, says Pritham, rolling his eyes and smirking. Please remind me the next time we're in a fix to toss you a sword, so you can illustrate a few of the grand manoeuvres you quite obviously know so very much about. Teak, saying nothing, smiles and stands from his chair, tips his hat and shuffles over to the far side of the room, where he promptly resumes working on a damaged pauldron. Well, it's very nice of you not to speak up and begrudge our dear friend his little victories, says Pritham, shaking his head as he turns to you. After all, they mean quite a bit to him. And they are, as I see it, few and far between. But let's not tarry trivialities. There's something I need to discuss with you. Pritham takes you aside, presumably out of earshot of Teak, and asks if you've ever been to a cave known as Overlook Nook. When you tell him that you're familiar with it, I wonder, does this adventure change if you've never been to Overlook Nook before? Well, if it does, or if it's just you can only access it if you've already been to Overlook Nook. I mean either one is credible, but if you find out about it, go tell me about it on the Swift Discord. You'll find it easily enough. When you tell him that, it's linked on the wiki for a start. When you tell him that you're familiar with it, he nods and says the quest was recently hired to recover a journal. It was stolen from the study of a prominent Tyson mage. You inquire about the identity of the mage, but Python is quick to tell you he's not at liberty to reveal it. I've been asked to keep that a secret, at least from now. I hope you understand. He casts a quick glance over at Teak before continuing in a lowered voice. Not the sort of work that you usually comes our way, he says, shrugging. Not everyone around here would agree with accepting such a mission. But well, with things being the way they are, who are we to ignore an opportunity to earn some gold? I accepted a job, of course, and Isquitar managed to track down the thief and trail him through the worst of the wilds, all the way to Fang Ridge. Okay, the rest of them are doing something, at least, rather than just standing there and arguing. You learn that Isquitar followed the man in possession of the stolen journal to the mouth of Overlook Nook atop Fang Ridge. There, your fellow quest member and master woodsman ran afoul of the rugged terrain, injuring his leg. He'd left after stumbled upon a bit of loose, slippery ledge. Prithom is quick to assure you that Isquitar is now safe and resting comfortably at the nearby Wake Road alehouse. But as heartening as it is to know our good friend and companion is safe, it is little to address the job we've taken on. That, as you may have guessed, is where your expertise is required. Prithom tells you that Isquitar, who managed to link back to Trithic, was closing in on the thief when a fearsome thunderstorm descended upon Fang Ridge. The young man, aware Isquitar was pursued, ducked into Overlook Nook, presumably to take shelter from the storm and evade capture. That's the place with goblins. May not have ended well for him, but oh well. We'll just see. Will you ever find him? Or just pick it off the corpse. Typical of an arcane spy, if indeed that's what he is, says Prithom. They're slippery and no mistake. So our dear friend takes a tumble and the thief escapes into a cave. I dare say he has yet to come back out of it. How do we know that? I mean, it's been a while because we've had enough time to go from Fang Ridge to Trithic. And by the time we get back, that time would have doubled. I guess for narrative purposes, we just have to assume. When you ask Prithom how he knows that the thief is still within Overlook Nook, he tells you that Isquitar told him he saw a large group of cave goblins entered the lair long after the young man. That explains it. If there's cave goblins around, he's either hiding very, very well or is very, very dead. I mean, either works for me, really. It's quite probable he's dead, says Prithom, shakes his fist. Goblin, no matter. Goblins would have a very little use for the journal he carried. Should be just a matter of roughing up their lot a bit and making off with the book. Simple enough. I would be paid a rather handsome sum for retrieving the journal. So what do you think? How should we proceed? Now, you can assign the jewels to Prithom and Teak, but I'm pretty sure that if only for game, the purpose of actually having an adventure, that you will end up doing it. But what if I assign it to Teak? As if we're reciting from a well-rehearsed script, Teak begins to detail for you the present set of circumstances that prevent him from being considered for the job at hand, despite the vague details supporting his claims and the obvious motives behind his embellished list of excuses. You quickly grow aware of what you sense is becoming an argument with no conceivable end. Come on. Come on. Go show off that sword skills you spent so much time bragging about. Use them on the goblins. Okay, and you can axe them too. Assign the jog to Pritham. As if reciting from a well-rehearsed script, Pritham begins to detail for you the present set of circumstances that prevent him from being considered for the job at hand, despite the vague details supporting his claims and the obvious motives behind his embellished list of excuses. You quickly grow wary of what you sense is becoming an argument with no considerable end. Well, as I suspected, if you want something actually done, you gotta do it yourself, apparently. Although, they did find where he was, so... They weren't just enjoying their retirement. No, they were doing things, and presumably they've done other things between the adventures that isn't featured. Alright, do it myself. When you tell Pritham you'll tackle the job, he nods and smiles. Yes, that would be for the best. You know your way about that way. That's not to be, if you'd excuse the expression, overlooked. Pritham wishes you luck and tells you with every confidence you will return safely to the journal. A few goblins, a cowardly thief, and a lost book, he says, smiling. Well, it may prove to be an adventure, but hardly the worst that you've seen. And I know enough about your exploits to state that as a fact. As Pritham and Teak busy themselves with nothing of any particular importance, you make the necessary preparation before setting out for Fang Ridge, eager to see what has come of the thief who apparently unwittingly entered the goblin-infested Overlook Nook. There we've got a box. It says, to reach Overlook Nook, travel to Trithic in Western Tosa, and then to Fang Ridge. You'll find Overlook Nook listed under nearby locations in Fang Ridge. All right. Let's just get out of Twithic, and then we'll make my way. Fang Ridge, nearby locations, Overlook Nook, visit Overlook Nook. The jagged fissure set into the base of a boulder-strewn hill, perched atop the upper spine of Fang Ridge, offers the only known entrance to the cave known as Overlook Nook. Few adventurers have recently reported sighting goblins in this area. Amongst others, though, Iskridar. So there's definitely goblins around. So I can rest nearby, but I've just turned up, so I don't need to do that. Enter the cave. You're standing just inside the mouth of the cave known as Overlook Nook. A foul stench akin to that of rotting meat fills the damp air of the shadowy, uninviting lair. To the west, a broad corridor gradually descends into darkness. Foul stench pervades the lair, twisting tunnels of the cave. Now and again, you find crude carvings adorning the cave's damp, uneven walls. Well, if I was a goblinologist, those would be of interest to me, but I'm not, so they're not. You're startled when a group of cave goblins suddenly appear out of the darkness ahead. The goblins howl wildly as they charge at you. Four cave goblins begin combat. Swing my club. And no specials that time. That's five rounds, no specials. 17 XP. You stare down at the goblins' troops. Corpses strewn about the tunnel before you set about checking over your gear. A quick search of the slain creatures turns up the following. It's a generic loot drop. Take the good stuff, leave the bad stuff. Oh, and 13 gold too. Alright, let's see. I'm going along the eastern side. There's a little alcove near the southeast corner. Suddenly, a large cave goblin, clad in a suit of fur armour and brandishing a mace, suddenly emerges from the darkness ahead. The cruel creature, Swy, dark eyes fixed on you, snarls viciously as it stalks forward to attack, drawing yourself into combat-ready stance. You defiantly prepare to engage the savage humanoid. It's a cave goblin chieftain. Swipes at you with his mace. 2, 3 rounds. 4 rounds. 5 rounds. Still no specials. You've slain your foe. 20 XP. A ragged hiss escapes from the goblin chief's lips as the dying creature slumps to the ground, coming to a rest at your feet. The foul goblin creature looks up and fixes you with a hate-filled glare, only a split second before his eyes roll back into his head, and he ingloriously succumbs to death. You quickly search his corpse and find the following. It's just some generic loot to sell later. Oh, and 28 gold. While examining the creature's remains, you find an iron key. Key tied to a frayed length of twine encircling his bloody neck. You promptly take possession of the curious item. Please note, the iron key will not appear as a normal item in your inventory. So presumably there's a variable said, have found iron key in Overlook Cave equals 1. And every time it resets, it goes back to 0. And then you just have the option. And then whatever needs to check again whether you have it, just checks that variable. That's slightly easier than programming item. Slightly easier. A furled length of parchment tucked into the goblin chieftain's hide belt bears a crudely stretched map that includes several nearby towns and villages. You study the map for a few moments before discarding it. Having concluded... What? Are they planning something? Planning some sort of raid? Or just, these are the places you shouldn't go? Having concluded your search and recovered from the brutal miller, I have no desire to linger here. You once again set off through the dark. Alright, now making my way to the southwest corner. There's a upside down T-shaped junction here. Very southwest corner explored. Opposite side of the upside down T explored. Alcove in the west side. Nothing there. Alright, there's a little circle in the northwest side. You're startled when a group of cave goblins suddenly appear out of the darkness ahead. The goblins snarl viciously as they rush at you. 3 cave goblins. Alright, that's... Alright, there's 14 rounds, still no specials. 14 XP. You stare down, the goblin corpses strewn across the tunnel, before you again set about checking over your gear. A quick search of the slain creatures turns up the following. It's more generic loot to sell later for gold to most of it, presumably be told into... turned into residence upgrades, which is at least something you can do with gold. I mean, it's not an infinite capacity, but it's enough to do all the gold you're going to pick up casually and during minor grinding. Of course, if you majorly grind, you'll max out your residence, and then, well, you'll just keep building up gold, apparently. Oh, and 12 gold directly. Eager to resume your exploration of the cave, you once again set off through the gloom, your eyes and ears alert for the first sign of possible danger. Alright. A large iron-banded wooden chest sits against the wall in this section of the cave passage. The chest is locked, closed and locked. Examine the chest. The heavy lid that tops the sturdy, iron-banded wooden chest is closed and locked. Your eyes are immediately drawn to the small keyhole set into the innate iron plate affixed to the front of the chest. So I guess, I mean, I could pick the lock. It's you only It only requires a novice level of thievery, because presumably goblins aren't that good at making locks or something like that, or just it. I mean, it would be a check, but still. Don't just use the key, since I have the key. The iron key, which you took from the corpse of the goblin chieftain, fits perfectly into the lock. You gently turn the click, 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 and you hear a soft click from somewhere within the locking mechanism. Then, with great care, you open the chest. The chest contains an assortment of items. You thoroughly examine its contents, careful not to overlook anything. Of course, a lot of the items are utterly useless and will never do anything that presumably little goblin knickknacks, which in a sense would be of interest to a goblinologist, but Sir Croakington is not a goblinologist, and I don't know any goblinologists I could give them to. I mean, presumably some must exist somewhere, studying goblinology at the Institute of Goblin Studies, probably in Aspire, because I mean because there's a usually for various reasons academia and magery are highly correlated, so presumably the greatest centre of magical study will be the greatest centre of general studyings. Anyway, there's some more stuff to loot, including a common spear, which is 16 encumbrance, and you sell it for 1 gold, so you'll never pick that up, pretty much. Oh, and 3 trinkets of 27 gold. Once you leave here, the treasure will just vanish. Just does. That's just how it works. At last, ready to continue on your way, you check over your equipment before turning away from the chest and cautiously setting off along the cave tunnel. And a poof! The rest of the treasure disappears. I didn't hear any sound, but that's presumably what happened. There was a poof. Because it just disappeared in a puff of not having enough memory space. Right, the very northwest corner. Going around the circle. You're startled when a pair of cave goblins suddenly appear in the darkness ahead. The goblins shriek wildly as they rush forward and attack 2 cave goblins. The smasher wallops your foe. Okay, I've got... So, I've done 16 damage and had 1 attack... 16 rounds, got 1 attack of 3. Where could I want to write these down somewhere. Do I have any little pieces of paper? Oh, I'm going to pause it while I make that down. I've got that. I'm writing that down now. Alright. Round 3 finishes it off. Alright, I'm just going to... You stare down at the goblin's corpses strewn about the tunnel. Before you set about checking over your gear, quick search of the slain creatures turns up some loot. Oh, and 14 gold. Eager to resume your exploration, you once again set off through the gloom, your eyes and ears alert for the first sign of any possible danger. Alright, now I'm just wandering around. I think if the Arcane Spy is still around, he's not going to turn up until all the goblins are gone. And if the Arcane Spine is dead, I'm not really going to be able to properly look for him until all the goblins are gone. And also, just getting the goblin's gun is just something you can generally something to do. Right. 3. You're startled when a group of cave goblins suddenly appears out of the darkness ahead. The goblins snarl viciously as they rush at you. 3 cave goblins. I swing my club. They howl wildly as they attack, and your enemy deals you a brutal blow for 9 damage. Keep swinging my club. Another 5 rounds. And no specials that time. Alright, it's the same 14 XP and the same message you get for winning the other ones. Oh, and 5 gold too. Alright, just gonna wander around this little map. So you're startled when a lone cave goblin suddenly appears out of the darkness ahead. The goblin shrieks savagely, it rushes forward and attacks. Well, considering all the goblins are already killed, this is probably for revenge. Because that goblin is probably brothers, lovers, fathers, who knows. Some sort of relationship with goblins are already killed. Begin combat. Snarls as viciously attacks you and is slain on round 2. Didn't last very long at all. These are easy peasy fights. Because this is earlier game content. I mean, it can be earlier. There's nothing stopping you from doing it late. Because this game, the way XP is handed out, you don't end up with either very small or a pittance of XP just because you did the quest later. You stare down at the goblin corpse lying at your feet and set about checking over your gear. A quick search of the slain creature turns up some more loot. Oh, and 13 gold. Suddenly, an unnerving quiet suddenly descends upon Overlook Nook. Success. You successfully cleared Overlook Nook. Though you've managed to clear this dungeon, there may or may not be more left to discover here. You can, if you wish, continue to explore Overlook Nook. Overlook Nook will, after a time, reset itself. You'll unlock all these other clearable dungeons, allowing you the opportunity to once again explore and clear it. 16 XP to general. It's something. With no further sign of any goblins lurking about, you make a thorough search of the cave and discover a few odds and ends tucked away in the far corners of the shadowy lair. None of it worth picking up. Oh, and 6 gold. Satisfied you haven't overlooked anything of value or importance, you carefully check over your gear before preparing to make your way back out into the light of day. Alright, but where's this arcane spy? Alright, I'm going to check all the places. Oh, probably, he's probably making his way to the exit even now. So I'm going to quickly make my way there. Alright, back to the exit, but slowly, just in case. Suddenly, as you near the mouth of the cave, you suddenly spot a shadowy form darting through the gloom along the opposite wall. Moving quickly, you intercept the slinking figure and find yourself face to face with a young man clad in a mix of leather and cloth armour. A leather pack is strapped to his back. Obviously startled by your sudden appearance, he gasps and asks what it is you're doing here. Did you get rid of all those goblins? He asks. Did you get rid of all those goblins? He asks, speaking in his low voice as his eyes scowl as one to white. Are you here looking for me? You are, aren't you? How do you find me? How could you even know where I was? Who sent you? Were you the one who chased me in here? Maintaining your position, which is preventing the thief from leaving the cave, you converse with him for several minutes and learn that he was in the process of traversing Fang's Ridge, actively evading a dogged pursuer, Isquidar, who would have been tracking him for over a day, when he was suddenly caught in a violent thunderstorm and took refuge in a cave. The cave was empty when I found it, possibly because I'd cleared it out earlier. I said, I don't know where the goblins were, but they all arrived soon enough. I managed to stay hidden from then, but I knew it would only be a matter of time before they sniffed me out. I don't even know how long I've been in here. It's holed up in a dark, wet space, barely big enough for a mouse. I was afraid to move. So, who sent you here to find me? Were you the one who was following me? Without acknowledging his question, she demanded he hand over the stolen journal. Well, at first he makes an attempt effort to pretend not to know what you're talking about. He ultimately abandons the act and instead refuses to comply with your demand. I can't give it to you, he says, taking a step back. I've worked too hard to get it, and I need it. As you hurriedly attempt to decide what you're going to do next, you closely watch the young thief, whose eyes and ears continue to scour the surrounding gloom. So I've got some options here. I could attack him, demand that he give me the journal, just steal it back, or use diplomacy. You know what? Random.org, tell me what to do. Yeah, as soon as you load, that is. Oh no, it's no longer in my quit. Alright, just got a random.org. Probably should have brought this up in advance. Or, you know, paused while I loaded it, but we're nearly there now. I got the four options. It's taking longer than expected. Yeah. I'm going to refresh the page again. Alright, yeah. I could just choose myself. But then why would I even have Wando Dog? There it is. Okay, random number between 1 and 4. Tell me what to do. Alright, we're doing 2. Apparently we're gonna thief the thief. Use thievery. Requires 60 plus. You successfully use your thievery skill. 16 XP to thievery. You tell the young thief that you can leave with the book. He seems startled by the sudden change of heart, but he thanks you and swiftly dips into a deep bow, a polite, respectful gesture he will ever after regret. During the bow, in the brief moment his eyes are not upon you, you put your master feathery to work, stealthily removing a large leather-bound book from his pack, slipping it in amongst your own belongings. I now have a stolen journal. Let's have a look at it. This large leather-bound journal is the book you retrieved from the Fifil Overlook Nook. The journal is an exhaustive record of a magical research done by a powerful Titian mage, whose name you were never told. The mage in question hired the Silver Quest to track down the thief and recover the journal. An intricate glyph is emblazoned on the book's thick leather cover. Alright. Before departing, the young man thanks you for allowing him to leave the journal. He tells you he's going to sell the book for a considerable sum of gold, enough to pay off the man to whom the gold is owed. He's a very dangerous sort, he says. Time isn't an ally, I'm afraid, but if I hurry, all of this might just turn out for the best, you know, until he realizes he doesn't have the journal anymore. And then, he's going to have a bad time. With that, the thief thanks you and wishes you well before turning. Without another word, making his way out of the cave. Unsure how long it would take him to realise he's no longer in possession of the journal, you linger near the mouth of the cave for only a couple of minutes until you're certain he's gone. I assume he's going to turn up to some sort of, I assume a fence. Yeah, a fence, trying to, who's going to sell the journal. And then he's going to realise, oh no, I don't have it anymore, and I am ruined. At last, happy to head back to Twithick, and the relative comfort of the headquarters of the Silver Quest, you prepare to make your way out of and away from Overlook Nook. Several hours after leaving Overlook Nook, you once again find yourself in the relative comfort and safety of Silver Quest headquarters in Twithick. Prithran, who was elated when he returned with the journal, immediately takes possession of the book, telling you that he will have it delivered to his expectant owner. Well, alright, I'm no longer carrying the stolen journal. You make one last attempt to get Prithran to reveal the name of the mage whose journal is, if he knows it, but he simply shakes his head in response. If I can tell you that, which I can't, I will tell you it was Bodoaf of Nightgrove, he says, smirking. Well, there now, I've done it. That can go no further than this wound, mind. Yes, old Breathwaff nearly ended up in a bad way over this book. In all honesty, I find it hard to find sympathy for him. But he is a most generous client. Which, by the way, reminds me now, who is Bodoaf of Nightgrove? Among the most powerful, esteemed, and would some would say, infamous of his magic-wielding brethren, Brithwood of Nightgrove is perhaps the most accomplished living mage in all of Tysa, residing in a remote and heavily protected Nightgrove tower. The elderly Bodoaf principally spends his days chronicling the history of magic on Swift, including his own considerable achievements in the mystical arts. Time and again, Bodoaf has found himself victim of thefts by arcane spies, who have often been in the employ of other sorcerers seeking to acquire some of the vast arcane knowledge locked away within Nightgrove Tower.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right. Snare retrieves a wooden chest, and from it pays you the largest share, by far, of the gold which Beld will have paid to the Silver Quest for taking on his stolen journal. 5,000 gold tokens. And now I don't feel quite so bad about whatever's going to happen to that, to the found thief. Due to the power of gold. Now that we're settled with that, time to get rid of this book, he says. Well done, Sir Croakington. Having helped someone like Beldorath is certain to bolster our already legendary reputation. Not that needs much bolstering, mind, but well, I think you know. Well, admittedly, a lot of our most legendary deeds are the sort of things that no one knows about. So having a famous deed which is going to be well known will help. As Griffin shuffles off to tend to the last details of the job, you take a seat by the fire and stretch your legs out towards its smouldering wharf. Eager to forget about caves and goblins and stolen books for the time being, you close your eyes and drift off into a peaceful, dreamless slumber. And that ends this adventure for 384 experience to general. You know what? Let's move on to the next one. Adventures for this location. The Captive. Who is Gildra of West Warren? Start the adventure. Embark on this adventure. Sometimes, only sometimes, mind. I think I can hear his voice around this old place as Prithin, clearing off a corner of the cluttered table to set down his own steaming mug of pale ale. I often wonder what's become of him. What's become of them? They can't be lost. They're all too wily for it to have come to that. I think that one day, perhaps sooner than we think, we'll see them all again. Don't you think so? For the past several minutes, you've listened politely as Prithun, in his typical penchant for nostalgic moving, has recounted more than once the adventures and events leading up to the departure of Windor and Helaine. The image of your companions stepping into the Firewind portal as they went off in search of Nirith and Terok is one you will never forget. Both Prithun's words and tone seem to suggest that she feels guilty for not having done more to keep them from going. Well, as you all know, you can't really stop Window. When you occur with him, you're also confident you'll see them again. He nods, smiles, and sits down at the table. With his rugged hands firmly gripping the steaming vessel, he takes a long sip of his pale ale. An awkward silence of nearly a minute follows, during which you find your thoughts drifting back to the fateful moment you parted ways with your companions. With a mix of fondness and grief, you recall the moment you, Prithin, and Isquidar parted with Wundur and Helaine. After only a few minutes, it is time to part ways with Wundur and Helaine. You, Isquidar, and Prithin bid the brave pair a sad farewell and wish them luck and safety on their perilous endeavour that lies ahead. Now, of course, they had to do this because for some people who were doing this, it would have been years since the end of Proving Grounds 5, so they may well need a bit of a jogging of their memory. For me, it's been a few months, and I've also played through it 8 times. Yeah, 8 times now, so it's quite. It's quite remembered now. And I wish the three of you luck as well, says Windle. You may yet find remnants of our enemy's shadow, perhaps in unexpected places. though I pray our beloved world has seen the last of all of this. Iskadar and Prithun step up to Windle, and each in turn meet their long-time friend and leader in a solemn shoulder cross. They then turn and repeat the gesture with Elaine. You do the same. If the opportunity should arise, says Windle, thoughtfully stroking his chin, see if you can somehow extend my sincere apologies to Teek, and see if he might not think again of donning the tabard. He's a good man, Sir Croakington. Good man by all measure. Tell him I was wrong. Take care of yourself, Sir Croakington, says Elaine, as the three of you prepare to depart. If I'm ever back this way, well, I'll try to see if I can cross paths with you. I like nothing more. Farewell. Windle closes his eyes and motions with his left hand. His entire body trembles and his eyes open as he gives a discontented sigh. He repeats the procedure, and this time the crackle of fire fills the dome chamber as a wide, flame-weaved portal opens against the wall. Flame-weaved. That presumably means it goes to a very nasty place indeed. It is nearly identical into the portal in which the demon lord and Trolloc were drawn. Elaine steps towards the portal and turns to face you all one last time as she arrives at the threshold. She nods and waves, then steps into the fiery vortex and is lost from sight. Windle exhales sharply and strides up to the portal. Like Elaine before him, he turns and nods to the three of you and takes one last look around at the gloomy dome chamber, as if it is the last view he will ever have of this world. Someday, he says in a low voice, shifting his gaze to each of you in turn. Someday again, for certain. With his final words still ringing in your ears, Windle steps into the portal and disappears. The fire-weaved Neville gate closes silently behind him. Your thoughts suddenly return to the present. Some day again, for certain, says Prithun, his eyes fixed on the dark steaming liquid lapping gently at the sides of his mug. That's what he said, and I choose to believe he meant it, but enough of that. One could only afford to linger in the past for so long. After all, there are matters of the present to which we must attend, and, as so often happens, something of that sort has just come our way. Prithun reaches into a pile of clutter that dominates the centre of the table and retrieves a sheathed dagger. He draws and brandishes the unremarkable blade before dipping it back into the sheath and setting it back onto the table. Perhaps the last worldly possession of Gildra of West Warren, he says. Gildra, it would seem, is a wanted man. He was acting as a liaison between a band of Gibbons and a small syndicate of goblin fences. Yes, and these are... there's a law book entry for those. Goblin fence. A goblin fence is a term used to describe a goblin, of any variety, who serves as a liaison of sorts between humans and goblins, or even less desirable creatures such as trolls and ogres. While trading or dealing with goblins, or trolls and ogres for that matter, is outlawed throughout the entirety of the North Broadlands, the practice does go on, but secretly. Goblin fences are frequently used by both humans and goblins in exchange of goods, often stolen, and services, often illicit, that would otherwise prove unobtainable by either group. Alright, now you know what a goblin fence is. He apparently ran afoul of the human side of that dastardly proposition, and is now being held captive. I have no love for his possession, mind. I would normally go far out of my way to avoid associating with Urk, but something about all of this seems different. In any case, we've been hired to rescue him. For reasons unknown, Pritham picks up the dagger he's just placed on his table and tucks the sheathed weapon into his belt. Unable to resist the urge to exercise your authority, as given to you by Windu upon his departure, you ask Prithan what the rescue of a nefarious human from the clutches of other equally unscrupulous men has to do with the business of monster slaying. He smirks and shakes his head. Quite right, he says, gingerly slurping his pale ale. I do hope you haven't been listening too much to Teak. Or Iskridar, for that matter. They already said much the same. But surely you have no desire to turn your back. Turn the back of the Silver Quest. On someone who's willing to pay us to. Prithan apologises and stands to meet you in a shoulder cross. What I mean to say, Sir Croxham, is asking you to consider accepting this job. I dare say I've been a bit presumptuous of late. When you inquire about the identity of the party willing to pay the Silver Quest to rescue the captured human goblin liaison, Prithan tells you he's not entirely certain. The man who hired us, that is, who's attempting to hire us, does not seem the sort to make alliances with someone like the Gildroy fellow. For what I've heard, Gildroy has other talents that serve him in a capacity well apart from his rather reprehensible line of work that's landed him in the current predicament. But apart from that, I suppose, I really know very little. I've been asked not to reveal his identity, so I'm afraid I must refuse even you on that matter. You then ask Prithwin about the dagger now tucked into his belt, specifically how he came to be in possession of it, and what is supposed to be done with it. I'm not sure, he says, again placing the sheath blade on the table. Well, perhaps it would be best if we were to give it back to him, once we've rescued him, that is. The man who hired us gave it to me, thinking it might help in some way. Though I confess I don't see how it could. Well, it's a fine sort of weapon. So, I can tell him the quest will accept the job or not accept the job. What happens if you do that? If you don't accept the job, there's no adventure. And then you just move on to the next... You move on to the next adventure. But I think you want to see what happens, so the quest will accept the job. Prithan again meets you in the shoulder cross. Will you tell him the quest will accept the job of rescuing the human goblin liaison? As he begins to go over the particulars of the mission, you're surprised to learn the captive in question, Gildroy of West Warren, is being held in Blue Moss Cave, a lair near Talonus with which you are already familiar. Well then, that certainly helps us simplify things, says Prithan. After listening to you relate the details of your previous excursion into the cave. Yes, that simplifies things very nicely. Here, you best take this. After looking over the sheath dagger one last time, Prithan hands the weapon to you as Gildra's dagger. It's got a melee rating of 3, and it provides 3 luck, which is a pretty big deal. That's enough luck to maximise my luck, if I were to equip it. So, this was the dagger given to you by Prithan, which decided that you should return the dagger to Gildroy after you rescue him. The dagger was given to Prithan by the mysterious man who hired the Silver Quest to rescue the captured human goblin liaison. This weapon is, of course, of magical quality. How else could it boost your luck? While going over the various details of the mystery with Prithan, you learn that a group of bandits has taken up residence in Blue Moss Cave again and are holding captive the human goblin liaison, Gildroy of West Warren. When you politely inquire about how he came to know about the technology, he merely smiles. You haven't forgotten, have you? There's more to me than meets the eye, dear friend. Or so I should hope to think. Source is quite close to me. Source is seldom wrong. Told me all about it. These same sources paint a very unsettling picture of Gilderoy. Gilderoy's likely fate, I'm afraid. We merely mustn't delay. Having agreed the job must be undertaken at once, Pritham is quick to suggest that he wound up any supplies you might need before setting out. Glancing about the cluttered interior of the Silver Quest headquarters, you're hardly surprised to notice both Teek and Isquidar conveniently absent. While I can attempt to assign a job to him, Pritham is taken aback. We suggest he tackle the rescue and quick to point out that you already possess knowledge of the surrounding terrain and the cave itself. A few mangy bandits would be just the sort of thing to keep you in practice, he says, slapping you on the shoulder as he swallows the last of his paler. And, well, if I want to be quite honest, I shudder to think of the state of this place if Isquidar and Teek were left to their own devices without me to keep after them. Just think of it. I dare not. You quake. Quick. Look at the mounds of clutter filling the interior of the renovated tavern and roll your eyes. Having decided here and now to take on the job yourself. Pritham describes to you, based on what he's told, Gilderoy of West Warren. You listen intently as he details the young man's appearance, down to his long, straight, raven locks. He looks just like one might expect a fellow out of West Warren to look, he says, frowning playfully. I've never said it before, and I will be the first to admit that such utterances are usually foreign to me. But seldom has anything good turned out of a place like West Warren. I very much doubt that this Gilderoy will prove an exception. One could always hope, of course. At length, you bid Pritham farewell and prepare to strike out at once for Blue Moss Cave, realising that any significant delay may well prove detrimental for the success of your mission, not to mention the life of the missing liaison. If you don't find him alive, some proof of his demise will have to do, says Pritham. It would be a grim conclusion, and not one we could truly consider a victory. There isn't much we can do to stay the hand of fate. Oh, and don't forget to give him his dagger. Well, good luck. Stay safe. I won't rest easy until you're back with us. With that, you make your way out of the quest headquarters, and after making the necessary preparations, embark on a long, potentially perilous trek back to Blue Moss Cave. Thankfully, the journey to Blue Moss Cave proves both swift and uneventful. As you approach the cave, winding your way through the thick of the surrounding forest, your mind focuses on the task immediately at hand, to find and rescue Gilderoy of West Warren. Alright, this is one of those clearable dungeons, and I'm sure we've done this before, Sir Croakington. So I'll just pause it while we do the replayable part. Alright, we've cleared out all the bandits. Now see, we've got a suddenly. As you're making your way out of the cave, you suddenly hear angry voices from somewhere in the darkness ahead. Dousing your light, you fall back into the shadows and watch as a pair of bandits appear around a bend in the passage, dragging along smaller, struggling figures, his hands and legs bound with thick rope. Listening intently as the two brigands speak hurriedly to one another, you discern they are attempting to flee the cave with their captive. Realising at once the struggling figure being dragged along the corridor is the man you've come here to rescue, Gilderoy of West Warren, you immediately begin to formulate a plan of action. Without warning, one of the bandits turns and deals Gilderoy a savage blow with the back of his hand. The raven-haired captive grunts in agony and collapses onto the floor of the cave. Keep still, says the other bandit, who flashes his cohort disapproving look. I thought I heard something. It's no good to us now, says the man who struck the blow, his voice low and clear. If we let him go, or we get rid of him, he's not coming with us. having suddenly made up his mind, the other brigand draws his sword and turns to look down upon the bound liaison. Udo struggles to get to his feet, but is kicked to the ground by the man who hit him only a moment ago. Realizing the men intend to kill him, he springs into action. There are quite a few options here. Archery, shadow magic, 70 plus, telekinesis 60 plus, thievery 50 plus, or illusion 50 plus, or I could just attack them. You know what? Random.org, tell me what to do. Oh, we're doing option 4, which is thievery. Successfully use your thievery skill. 8, experience of thievery. You steal silent through the gloom and move up unseen behind the unsuspecting bandits. A pair of swift, well-placed blows send both brigands collapsing to the cave floor, where they rapidly slip into unconsciousness. With nothing more to fear from the two bandits, you rush to Gildra's side. Gildra, whose battered and bloodied face betrays the ill treatment he's received at the hands of his captors, mutters several prayers as you cut the ropes that bind him, then help him regain his feet. Leaning against you, still not quite able to maintain his balance, he thanks you repeatedly, telling you he fears his days had at last come to an end. "I didn't want to die in there," he says. "I didn't think they'd kill me, but well, things went a bit awry. I always thought myself too cautious to fall into a bad way like this. Where do you introduce yourself and tell the human goblin liaison that you're here on behalf of the Silver Quest? We've been hired to rescue me," stared you in wonder. "Who hired you? I don't understand. You mean to say that? Oh, never mind. I'm too grateful to be alive to worry over any of that." When you inform Gildra that your only goal of your mission was to see him freed from his captors, he seems profoundly relieved. In a matter of moments, he's able to stand on his own and walk without assistance. It looks as if the ill effects he suffered at the hand of his captors will not prove permanent. With your help, Gildra locates most of his gear that was taken by the goblins. He seems particularly happy to recover a crude dagger, which he promptly tucks into his belt. "Now, if you don't mind, I think you should get out of here," he says. "Well, should I give him his dagger or not? Well, I might as well. I mean, I'm not going to be equipping it. Even if I want to boost luck, I'll just equip the quick stab dagger. Which combined with the phantom weapon bonus will get luck up to. Will get luck up to 20 anyway. So give him his dagger." Gildra was surprised when he produced a dagger given to him by Pritham and handed it to him. He thanks you and tells you the weapon is very dear to him. He also tells you he feared it was forever lost. "How did you come across this?" he asked, suddenly flashing a suspicious eye. "Well, never mind. Who am I to question the likes of you? Thank you. Thank you 100 times again." As the two of you make your way out of the now deserted clay cave, you ask Gildor about his recent predicament and about where he will go from here. "I've been in spots like this before," he says, shrugging. "Not quite as bad as that, I'd admit, but bad enough. I don't think I was getting out of that one, though. I owe you more than simple gratitude, but now that one has to suffice. I will repay this favour, though, that I promise, Sir Croton. Where from here, I can't really say. Some place where no one knows me would be nice." Once outside the cave, Gildor continues to talk. You're not entirely certain he's aware of all he's revealing to you. When he makes mention of Farwither, a small settlement on Tyser's eastern frontier that fell victim to a goblin raid several years ago, and alludes to his indirect involvement in his gruesome fate. You suddenly find yourself looking at the young man in a whole new light. Now there's law for Farwither. The remote settlement of Farwither, situated on Tyser's eastern frontier, was destroyed by a band of marauding cave goblins several years ago. The goblins that razed Farwither, killing nearly all its residents, were later hunted down and slain by a group of Tyson border rangers, working alongside the Troll Hunter. Troll Hunter and his band of rugged huntsmen. More things! The jig's done. The attack on Farwither has continued to serve as a fresh reminder to all those across the North Broadlands of the deadly, ever-pleasant peril that haunts the untamed wilds of the world. Gidromp tells you he was tasked by a particularly unsavoury clan of goblins that hired him to locate a man who had betrayed them. You learn that the liaison tracked the man in question to Farwither and promptly relayed his news to the goblins. "I had no idea they would do what they did," he says, shaking his head and shrugging. "I don't know why I'm telling you this, actually. I suppose it's because I never told anyone about it. Stuck with me, of course. Sometimes I can't get to sleep. Sleep for it. Never been back that way. Don't think I could face that." Gildra's strange admission about his indirect involvement with the attack on Farwither fills you with strong emotions. Your sympathy for the young man, for the terrible burden that will weigh upon his soul for the rest of his life, is tempered by your abhorrent disdain for his treachery against his fellow humans. And what was it for? We didn't have to. Treachery that led to the deaths of nearly every man, woman and child in Farwither. As if sensing eternal conflict and regretting his imprudent concession, Gildra suddenly and somewhat nervously tells you must be on his way. "Thank you again, Sir Crokington. I won't forget this. I found some way to repay you, I promise." As the young man prepares to set off, the horrific tales you've heard about the events in Farwither continue to churn through your thoughts. Struggling to quell your rising rage, you quickly decide his fate. You're certain the Silver Crest would have never consented to taking part in his rescue had his past been known. "So, I can use divination for more information. I can attack Gildra, give him a stern warning, which honestly, I don't think he's going to care much about it. He's a goblin fence. Once you're a goblin fence, you don't care what other people think about you." "And yes, okay, theoretically I could threaten him, but I go all over the place. It's very unlikely that if he does anything, that I'll be able to do anything about it for months or even years. And of course, considering the things he do leave no witnesses at all, I likely would never know. So that stern warning doesn't mean anything. Or I could allow him to leave. Just hoping he doesn't screw it up again." "Alright, well anyway, what does divination give me?" "Succeeded. You channel your power of divination and make several attempts to determine whether or not Gildra is telling you the truth about his involvement in the attack on Farwither. That also gets me 8 XP to divination. Although his mind proves exceedingly difficult to read, you ultimately sense what he has told you is true. To say that he feels little remorse for his part in the tragedy. So, Ooh, Little Remorse. Now, the thing is, that's probably the only thing that would... The guilt is probably the only thing that would stop him from doing something like that again. The thing is, that's his trade. His trade is being a goblin fence. And presumably, if one goblin clan was to ask him to find someone who... to find a man who betrayed them and lead to an entire... to an entire village just being wiped out, then... it could, there's a fairly decent chance it could happen again. So, yeah, I just cannot risk it. I cannot risk such a man wandering around free to betray humanity once again. So I'm going to attack him. Crying out in alarm, Gildra stumbles back and draws out his dagger, which I just gave to him, as he struggles to fend off your swift and sudden assault. Begin combat with Gildra. Now, I could subdue him, but... really, that would just be a slightly more painful version of the stern talking to. So, he has to die. Because this is the only chance, really, to deliver him to justice. Because the thing is... regular justice won't work on him because he already, just one of the things he already did, he would have death sentences on him. So he's evaded justice for that, so presumably he could evade justice for the attack on Farweather. Nope, he has to die. Kill your enemy. Gildra swipes at you with his dagger. I use my special sword. And I go into battle rage. And four. Just took four rounds to finish him off. And he is slain. 8 XP. Your final body. Stens Gildra's bloodied, lifeless body sprawling to the ground. Stepping back from his corpse, you spend a few moments cautiously surveying your immediate surroundings and checking over your equipment. Then, with your heartbeat slowing and your breathing once more settled into a calm, familiar pattern, you move to examine the body of the slain liaison. A thorough search of Gildor's body turns up the following. He's got an exceptional dagger. It's some rather high quality stuff. It will sell, but it's high quality, but all mundane. After making certain you haven't overlooked anything, you step back from his remains and prepare to make your way out of it. Wait a minute, where's the dagger I just gave him? Yeah, well, I guess that wasn't factored in, that you could give him the dagger and then kill him. Oh well. Later, days later, back in Twithic, in the headquarters of the Silver Crest. Upon returning to Adderstone, you immediately make your way to the headquarters of the Silver Crest, where you announce the conclusion of your mission. Teek and Iskadar, who were obviously happy to have you safe and bound, seem largely indifferent to the outcome of your rescue of the Silver Quaid, and perhaps even a little resentful was ever carried out at. Despite this, and believing it's for the best to provide a true and full account of what occurred, you relate the adventure in its entirety to your companions. When you tell them about Gildra's death, only Prithrin seems to have any noticeable reaction. He winces slightly before slowly nodding, as if to signal he does not entirely disapprove of your actions. "Seems a fitting end to that, Wat," says Iskadar, glancing in turn at Teek and Prithon. "No good ever comes from consulting with goblins." Okay, sometimes good comes. I mean, we stopped the necromancer webcoat that one time. I think that's all that needs to be said about that. Well done, my friend. Your fellow members at the Silver Quest resume their various tasks of somewhat dubious importance. You settle in next to the fire, content to put the events of your recent adventure behind you. No sooner have you begun to doze, does Priffin pull a chair up to the hearth and sink into it. His eyes fix you with a curious look. It's all for you, he says, handing you a bag full of gold. Getting Gilda away from his castle was important enough to warrant that tidy little sum. But I suppose it doesn't really matter now. Not really. I got 500 gold tokens. Priffin sighs, and for a moment, just a moment, you almost believe you're looking at Windle. You quickly chalk the inane notion onto fatiguing, probably discarded. I don't know anything more about this. I'd left the scoundrel who's captors, he continues shaking his head. I promise to be a bit more discerning in the future about the sorts of jobs I seem to so readily accept. You're sure, Priffin, you don't blame him for the turn of events involving Gilda's rescue? He smiles and nods. As he stands, he places his hand on his shoulder and thanks you. He then moves off to tend to a heap of his own gear that appears ready to slide off the table, already piled high with clutter. A general leeriness, combined with the heat spilling off from the fireplace, serves to make your eyelids increasingly heavy. As you slowly drift into slumber, content to put aside all of the thoughts and concerns, a peaceful melody slips stealthily into your ear. It's Priffin's gentle song, half hummed from the far side of the womb, that ultimately lulls you to sleep. And that ends this adventure, so in a way at least, with 384 experience to general and 32 experience to all skills and powers. And the next one has been unlocked. It's called Marked. The barely legible note tacked to the inside of the door makes mention of a task of no small urgency to be undertaken at a nearby farm. Yet another job your fellow quest members have apparently seen fit to cast your way. But that will be for next time. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.